Welcome everyone to the podcast Soccer is Life. My name is Karim.
Axel here. We're back and we're here to talk about the Calcio Mercato.
Alright guys, so this is a transfer window episode. Just gonna go over the top 6 teams in the Premier League and maybe and then the top European teams. Mm-hmm. Let you guys know what we think about what happened thus far in the transfer market and maybe, you know, what different teams need at this time of the season.
Yeah, so just a reminder, for the Premier League, the transfer market ends before the start of the season. So the first game is, what, August 8th? So that's in about, what, 10 days, 2 weeks, 10 days, something like that. All the rest of the European clubs can pretty much buy until August 31st. So that's their deadline. So yeah, keep that in mind as we analyze the Premier League as well as the rest of the European clubs later on.
All right, man. Let's start with from 1 to 6 as they ranked last year. So the first team, of course, Man City. Mm-hmm. They signed 2 players thus far, a midfielder from Atletico Madrid to have a good substitution for
Fernandinho,
and then they signed their old left back who was at Eindhoven, Angelino, which is still to be determined if he will actually play a role in the team or mm-hmm. would he be like a second or third sub after Zinchenko and they sold Delph, so maybe after Zinchenko and mm-hmm. Benjamin Mendy, if he's fit, I think he's the first choice. What do you think Man City need other players? There's a lot of talks that Leroy Sané
might be going to Bayern Munich. Yeah. Yes, I think he will eventually. If Bayern can put up the money that Manchester City wants, I think he will go. Pep Guardiola said that, you know, we don't want to keep a player who's unhappy. So if Sané wants to go and Bayern can match the asking price of Manchester City, he will probably go. But what I think of Manchester City is that it's a stacked team, obviously. It's no secret. It's been like this for years. Man City has 2 or 3 top players at every position. It's actually unbelievable. And what Manchester City does is that they replace people before they're actually phased out. Fernandinho, I mean, he's still a baller. He's a really, really, for me, one of the most important players for Pep.
Yeah.
But getting a player like Rodrigo, I mean, I don't know if you've seen his highlights or even like some of his games with Atletico, but he's brilliant. I think he's even, in the long term, he's even going to be better than Fernandinho. He's still so young, 23 years old. We know Pep's capability of like transforming players individually, how he's better, you know, their Sterlings and all that. I mean, that's just an example, right? When he works with players on an individual level, he always delivers. So that's the thing. I mean, Rodrigo, he's basically like a Busquets. He like everything that Busquets does, like those passes, those feints, you know, body feints, whatever.
Yeah,
he does all of that. He has long range, short range. He dictates the play as well. He reads the play very well. I mean, he's gonna be a top player. It's gonna be interesting for me to see like how he's used in the first few months, you know, how he adapts to the Premier League. But we already know that he's a hard worker. You know, you can't be in a Diego Simeone team without being a hard worker. So he has that as an advantage. And he also speaks English really, really well, actually. I heard him talking in an interview. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I had to Google, like, did this guy grow up in England, or did he? I mean, he doesn't have an English accent.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, he played one season with Atletico.
Yeah, he has a really good accent. He can speak pretty properly.
Okay.
So there's not gonna be like he's not gonna have any trouble.
No language barrier.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know, I mean, his coach is Spanish, and there's a lot of like Spanish speaking players all up there. So he's gonna do great for sure. But okay, so Manchester City. I mean, we know that they don't need more players than they have right now. This is what Manchester United used to do when, you know, we're on top of the world. Like every summer, we'll get like maybe 1 or 2 players.
Yeah.
And most of the time, they will be squad players just to add a little, you know, what City is doing now, I guess what Liverpool is doing as well. We know that Manchester City has been linked to a couple of players. We heard about Harry Maguire. We know that they actually, you know, submitted a bid for him. And early on in the transfer season, or even before that, we heard about João Felix as well. Obviously, he's at Atletico Madrid right now. We also heard about Bruno Fernandes. So I think right now, the state at which they are, they will be interested in a couple of players, but they won't look to like start a bidding war or like Rodrigo is the player that they really wanted, so they went all out for him really early on. So they're interested in Maguire, but they see that Leicester City asking prices.
Yeah, their demands is crazy. They they want to sell him for what?
For 80, 90 million, yeah.
For basically...
They just want to match...
If they sell him, he's going to be more expensive than Van Dijk and then De Ligt, which is...
Yeah, that's the only point. So we know that they're, you know, if there's a player that they possibly want, you know, they will pay what their valuation is. But they won't go over the top. And it's the same thing with the João Felix. You know, they're not going to pay 125 mil that Atletico Madrid paid unless they really, really needed him. That's the thing with Manchester City. Like, they don't spend... I think the record spending is Rodrigo or something like that. Like, yeah. I think it's like, what, like 65 million or something
Which is peanuts compared to what...
Yeah, if you compare like the 150. Players, exactly, yeah. So what they do, what they've done over the years is that they've had a lot of those 60 million, 50 million, 55 million transfers, but they don't really do like the one transfer and that's like above 80. And
they get these players early as well. That's why they get a bargain. They do not wait until they explode and become, you know, best player in Europe.
Because they have a proper...
Before buying them, so...
They have an unbelievable scouting network, and they have a proper team as well. You know, we know that they took all of Barcelona's backroom staff, so... If it's about transfer, I mean, whether it's the scouts, the directors, the guy who actually negotiates the deals, they got a top team, and they always get the people they want. So I'm not worried about them at all, you know.
Do you think if Leroy Sané leaves, they would sign another big player to replace him, or do you think they have enough depth in their squad?
I don't think they have enough time to sign a big player that would potentially match. Yeah, replace him. I think that... They want to know from Bayern Munich if they really want the player and if they can pay, so that possibly they have a little window, like I would say a week by now, to sign a replacement. But you know, it's just, I think they'll be fine without him.
Okay,
at least for one season. You know, they can get someone in the winter or next summer, or he might just stay. Actually, you know, he might just stay in the end.
All right, man. Let's move on to Liverpool.
Yeah.
They have done two signings, actually. One today.
I heard this morning. Yeah, the youngster.
The youngest player to play in the Premier League. What's the youngster from Fulham.
Harry Elliott or something like that.
And then they also signed like a 17-year-old defender from the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
But those two signings, I believe they were rarely featured in any A-team games. So. For now on, Liverpool has nearly zero signings. Let's say, what do you think, man?
I don't think that the fans are worried. And when I say that, I look at the other Premier League teams. That's the thing. Like, we can talk about Manchester United after, and our situation is like very dire. But what I guess comforts me, quote unquote, is that no other teams. No other top teams have really like gone in the market crazy, you know. So it's a little bit of like whatever, you know. It's a little bit of like the status quo thing, you know, just maintaining whatever happened last season. We know that, you know, it's gonna be City and Liverpool up there fighting for the number one spot again. So yeah, I
you never know, man. I mean,
no, I mean, I actually
that's your prediction at least.
No, I mean, I know. I don't see it any other way.
Okay,
I don't see how. Arsenal improved. I don't see how United improved as we speak right now. Let's just say the date in case people listen to this at some other point. July 28th, Sunday, okay, 1:45 p.m. Eastern time. But yeah, you know, United hasn't done anything really. Tottenham has done quite a few business. We're gonna talk about that as well. But yeah, I don't think that fans are worried.
I think for Liverpool, a couple of players can be actually considered as new signings. The obvious choice is Chamberlain. I think he last year he was actually supposed to come. He came back a little bit earlier. He had a couple of minutes here and there, but he didn't really feature in any of the games next year. So I think having Ox in the midfield is should be considered as a new signing for Liverpool. Having him being able to start and fit is a big win for them. And then maybe another signing would be Joe Gomez. He had an injury early last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the injury, he was actually falsely diagnosed. So his injury took a lot more time than what he was supposed to be. But I think last year, he was actually supposed to start in the back with Virgil van Dijk.
All right.
So having him come back and fit... I think he would be the starting center back with Virgil van Dijk. So that could be another change in the team. And then those other two players, I don't see any other signings. But I believe that Liverpool would need maybe a little bit more creativity in the midfield. Again, you know, you have players in the squad like Lallana, which I don't believe add a lot of value.
Yeah, they should be phased out.
And then up front, I don't think you have a really good substitute for Firmino. Origi tried to play in this role. Sturridge played in this role a little bit, but he left. So I think they need someone up front.
Sturridge has been freed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sturridge has been freed. So,
I didn't hear about that.
So they need someone to replace Firmino, and I think they'll be good because their defense and the goalkeepers are top notch. Midfielder, maybe one or two, maybe one creative player, and then up front, I think they need another replacement for Firmino, and that's it for me.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have had a successful year. Obviously, they won the Champions League as well. They've been on the U.S. tour right now. We know that they're owned by the Fenway Sports Group, which, you know, is in Boston and owns Red Sox and all of that. That should play at the Fenway Park. The only thing that I heard as far as Liverpool is, like, they were interested in Nicolas Pepe. But
yeah,
we were hearing that, you know, he's probably going to Arsenal. Lille is saying that they got four offers from four big clubs.
Because Napoli
were
also in the image.
Yeah, so we know that Napoli and Arsenal are part of this. We don't really know the two other ones, like, we don't know that for a we don't know who it is for a fact. We can probably guess that it was I don't know. I'm
Liverpool.
Hearing like Bayern,
so
Munich,
Liverpool.
Arsenal,
Napoli,
I think Bayern, Liverpool,
okay.
Arsenal, Liverpool. So same thing for Liverpool. I think they don't want to pay a lot of money for people that they think that maybe they can pass, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with Manchester City. So, you know, that's just what I have to say for them. It'll be interesting to see if they can replicate last year. It'll be interesting to see if the players are going to be hungry again. You know, they're going to come back hungry. We know that Mo Salah had a disappointing summer at the African Cup of Nations. We know that Mane had a, you know, final heartbreak as well at the African Cup of Nations. So, you know, they're on holiday right now, but, you know, hopefully for them, they can come back hungry as ever and try to repeat what they did last year, but this time win the Premier League, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, man. I think who finished third last year?
Tottenham, probably.
If I remember. Yes, Tottenham.
Or
so,
Chelsea.
Let me check.
Might be Chelsea, yo. Chelsea sneaked out.
No, I think Chelsea were fourth. And
fourth?
It was Tottenham, but let me.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Check it out so I can stand before you. But let's go over Tottenham.
Look, this is Chelsea. They have a transfer ban.
Yeah.
They got Christian Pulisic in the winter.
Yep.
That's it. That's all.
Do you think not having Ozil is going to...
No, I think right now they're in the transition period. You know, obviously they have Frank Lampard right now as a new coach. So I think it's a little bit of, like, you know, Solskjaer look to it, you know, young, dynamic coach, close to the players.
Oh, Chelsea was third last year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, close
damn.
To the players, like on a personality level.
Yeah.
I think this year is the first year that actually Chelsea are going to look to use their young players,
mm-hmm.
And some of their players that, you know, are in the squad that are always loaned out for no fucking reason. Hudson-Odoi, we know that he had offers from Bayern Munich and all of that. Finally committed to Chelsea, so he signed I think a 4 or 5 year deal with Chelsea. We know that Tammy Abraham is coming back again. He was at Swansea loan for a couple seasons, I think. He's gonna be the number nine. It's gonna be interesting to see how Lampard can, you know, get these players playing together. They've been working together on tour right now. I haven't really seen any of their games or highlights or even heard what's going on, really. Chelsea is actually going to play Manchester United in the first game, so it's going to be an interesting one. I think they get a pass this season because during transition period, they don't have the possibility to make any transfers.
Yeah.
They lost Eden Hazard, of course, so that's a big one as well. So I think that they get a pass if they don't make big things. And if they do, it's going to be a beautiful, a welcome surprise.
Do you think Pulisic is going to start?
I think Pulisic is going to start. He's probably going to start. Because right now, I mean, they have Hudson-Odoi. Is he more of a right-wing player? Or, yeah. I mean, I think that what they...
I mean, but they can always interchange.
They can
interswitch,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think he's going to start. I mean, you know, they got him for big money. And I think that he's at that age right now that he needs to start delivering on the big stage. He was a great player at Dortmund. I think that he had a couple injuries last season, though. I didn't really hear about him much. But yeah, he's I think he's the hope, the beacon of hope for the U.S. National team, because they're trash, and you know we don't really hear about Americans really, you know, really out there doing what they need to do. We know that the farming system is different here. You know, people go to college and then they get to join a MLS team.
Yeah.
But he was not part of that farming system. He went to Dortmund pretty much early on. I don't know how old he was. So he got a different experience to what his American teammates normally have. So let's see if you know they came to the U.S. as well this year. And they kind of wanted to use Pulisic as a way to like pull in, you know, the American market.
They have a
market.
Big following in the U.S. Chelsea.
Yeah, exactly. So they're trying to exploit that a little more, I think, by signing an American player.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a good player for them. I'm excited to see what Lampard can do with this young team. Obviously, he has a little bit of experience as well. You know, you have the David Luiz. We know that Peter Cech came back as well as some kind of technical director.
Yeah, football director or whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a little bit of like the family coming together. Yeah, no pressure on them, I think.
All right, man. So let's go to the fourth team then, which is Tottenham.
Yeah.
They made their biggest signing in history in Dombele from Lyon.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty much it. Walker. Went to Trippier. I'm sorry, Trippier went to Atletico Madrid
for only 25 mil. I was surprised by that.
Yeah, because I think he only had one season left in his contract.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating to be honest.
But it looks like, you know, I mean, Tottenham for the past couple two transfer windows, they signed no players.
No.
This one they signed they made a big purchase, but I don't believe their squad is going to change a lot.
Mm.
How do you think the Ndombele is going to impact the team? Have you seen any of his highlights while playing with Lyon?
Yeah. So Ndombele, I mean, so his last season was not the best, but the season before he was outstanding. Ndombele is a big player. He's a player that I would have wanted as a Matic replacement. You know, he has a lot of legs in there in the engine room. So I think it's a big statement from Tottenham to get a player like this. I mean, especially after they just got their big money new stadium. So they've been spending a lot lately. And I'm hearing also other reports that, you know, possibly Paulo Dybala has had talks with Mauricio Pochettino, sorry.
Yeah.
Who, you know, he's an unbelievable coach. I mean, for me, Tottenham already has a great squad. They have a good foundation, defense, they're all stacked. We know that Alderweireld had a 25 million release clause that expired, I think, last Thursday. Nobody touched it. I don't understand why, to be honest. I don't understand why we didn't go for him.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just like surprised that at the fact that he stayed there. Is he asking for too much money for the potential suitors? I don't know. So they have a good foundation in the middle. They're all there as well. Eriksen is there. We know that, you know, at the end of the season he said that he wants a different challenge. All these players talking about new challenge, but then nobody actually coming for them to put up the money. You know, shout out to Neymar, shout out to Pogba, Eriksen, all these guys. new challenge. Win the Premier League. How about that for a challenge? God damn it. So yeah, and I'm hearing that. I mean, we know that the Bale situation is pretty much a crazy world right now. We heard this morning that he went to China. He actually landed there. I saw footage.
Yeah.
And then, like a couple of hours later, Real Madrid called off the transfer. But what I heard about Tottenham and Gareth Bale last week when Zidane made those comments about wanting to like get rid of him, and, you know, if it's tomorrow then even better. I had seen an ESPN report that said that Tottenham would be like looking into, you know, offering Bale an exit route, you know,
okay,
so that he could come back to the Premier League. I saw that, you know, the transfer could see Real Madrid receive like a 50-60 million transfer, with Spurs paying half of the salary, which is 17 million euros a year, and then Madrid giving him 25 mil up top, just to cover the remaining 3 years of his contract. This will be half. So this just showed how much that Real Madrid wanted to get rid of this asset that is Gareth Bale, right? I mean, I don't know or think it's going to happen at this point, but if he was to come back to the Premier League, and to play with Tottenham, I think that will be an unbelievable statement of intent. I mean, just imagine Gareth Bale. I mean, he broke away with Spurs before doing his big money Premier League Real Madrid move. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, with the squad that they already have, the Canes, the Dele Allis, the Eriksen, the Ndombele, the Son, Lucas Moura.
They're going to be really dangerous. Yeah, man. But other than that, I think that would be the only player that potentially could go to Tottenham. I don't see them involved in any other rumors. So it's Bale or nothing else.
Yeah, I think they're all set. I don't know what's going to happen with the Dybala. I think that's the more likely one between the two, to be honest. Okay. Because, you know, I mean, Dybala is a young player who still hasn't... He's about 24 now, I think. Still hasn't quite carved out a place for him in the Juventus team since Pogba left. You know, he had Ronaldo in his steps last year who took... I don't want to say he took his spot because it's not like they play the same position. But, you know, Allegri preferred more hardworking players like Bernardeschi at times or Mandzukic. So yeah, I think that we've seen some reports, you know, contradictory reports to be fair. Some reports saying that, you know, Dybala has had talks with Maurizio Sarri, you know, who's a new coach of Juventus, and told him that he wants to stay and prove himself. And others that have said that, you know, it's time that he goes somewhere else and starts a new adventure. So we'll see.
We'll see what happens. So Arsenal.
Yeah.
Another London team. Mm-hmm. They got Ceballos maybe yesterday on loan.
Dani Ceballos
from Real Madrid. They signed a defender from Saint-Etienne, but he's only going to come the year after next.
William Saliba, he started to be a big, big defender, actually. I haven't seen him play, but some of the reports that I've heard about him seem like he's a new
loss of potential
or something. Yeah. So that's good news for them as far as looking into the future.
But the latest rumor...
Nicolas Pepe.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm a bit surprised by all of this because at the start of the summer, we heard something that was ridiculous. That Arsenal probably had like 40 million budget for the transfer window. I mean, 40 million transfer budget in 2019 for like a top four contender team is like nothing short of laughable. Teams like Crystal Palace spend more than that in one summer. So obviously we've seen that it's not quite the truth. And to be honest, I don't know if this position changed like in the last couple days, weeks, when Arsenal was touring throughout the USA. We know that they have American owners who don't really care about Arsenal as a football club. They care about Arsenal as a business, as a money maker, as a cash cow. We know that they use Arsenal to service... their loans in regards to their other businesses. You know, they own the LA Rams, they own the Denver Nuggets. It's been a tumultuous relationship between the owners and the fans. You know, very frustrated, a little bit like Manchester United. And then we hear that they've put up 80 million euros for Nicolas Pepe, you know, who's...
For me, it's very surprising because at the beginning of the window transfer, they were chasing Zaha, and apparently they made an offer for 40 mil, and that was it. And Crystal Palace were looking for actually to sell him for more value than Bissaka, who sold for 50 million. Mm-hmm. So they were like, you're crazy. No way Zaha is going for less than Bissaka. And now they're gonna put the double for Pepe. Mm. I don't know how that would work, but it's surprising to me that they are willing to put all this money for Pepe, who will come to a new league, the Premier League, which is way different than Ligue 1. He's still in the beginning of his career compared to Zaha, who has proved himself in the Premier League.
Yeah.
He had a short time in Manchester United, and I don't know how you think about him as a player, but you know, I would be surprised if Pepe goes there for 80 million. But looking at the squad, I think it makes more sense to actually sign a right winger instead of playing with his left foot, instead of signing someone who plays with his right foot and who would play on the left, because a lot of times on the left you would have Iwobi, you would have Aubameyang. Sometimes when Lacazette plays as a striker, or there's a lot of, you know, interchanging things in the left flank. But in the right flank, I think you haven't had like a really good solid player who can play there. So it would make sense to have more Pepe, but 80 million is a lot.
It's a lot, but that's the transfer market. See, this is for me. The thing we have to address one thing in the English Premier League, as far as transfer between clubs. Right now, the money in the Premier League is at an all-time high. Before, if you were a top four team and you wanted someone from other teams, you would get them. Like, pretty much if you want whoever, you would get them, because the clubs wouldn't have another choice other than selling the player.
Yeah.
But now, everybody has money with the TV deals and all that, you know, that has exceeded like 1 billion. It's just incredible. This just means that teams are not willing to sell. And I can only look at a team like Leicester City, for example, who's giving us a hard time with Harry Maguire. Teams are not forced to sell anymore, and they will only sell if you put up big money. We also know that there's a premium in the Premier League. Like there's a, I guess, something like a tax, you know. You can look at Kieran Trippier, for example. He went to Atletico Madrid for 20 mil, even if it was in his last year of the contract. But yeah, if he went to like another English team, it will be for 35 minimum. Like, English teams don't like to sell to each other, especially now, you know, that they have money, the I guess the small teams. So I guess this is it's kind of like a good thing if you're like the average, you know, regular team, right? That you don't need to be bullied in a transfer market anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be forced into selling your best players anymore, like the Ferguson era. So yeah, they wanted Zaha. They offered 40 mil. Which got rejected. I think now Everton are in the running for Zaha. They offered 50 million, and that got rejected as well. So just crazy fees that are being thrown away like this. Nicola Pepe, it's a bit different, I think, because he's really been like an unbelievable player in the Ligue 1. I know it's only the Ligue 1, but whatever. We can only talk about where he's playing. He's had a lot of goals. I think he was the second after Mbappe last season, I'm pretty sure. He didn't have an unbelievable African Cup of Nations. He didn't really gel properly with the team, but I think that it's a great move if he can adapt to this team and to this league. I mean, he is. We know that what's his name? Fucking Unai Emery. He's really good with the young players. So yeah, if they do indeed get him, it's a great piece of transfer business right there. I mean, imagine a front three of like Aubameyang on the left, Lacazette in the middle, and then Pepe on the right. That's fucking crazy, bro. So yeah, I mean, right now we know that Arsenal has met Lille's valuation of Nicola Pepe, but you know, it's not official yet.
Yeah.
It would be really funny if like somebody else comes in and like just steals Nicola Pepe from Arsenal's nose. Because we know that, you know, people, young talented players, they want to play in the Champions League. United are not in the Champions League. Arsenal are not in the Champions League. United still has attracted, you know, a couple of like hot players without being in the Champions League. But, you know, they just overpay and then that's it. I don't know about Arsenal's capability of doing that. They haven't been in the Champions League for a little bit now, actually. So you'll have to see if... I'm sure the agent right now is like negotiating with the four teams. Because, you know, Lila's already pretty much said, okay, we are okay with all of your offers, you four clubs. Now it's up to the player to decide where he wants to go. So I think the agent is working hard. I mean, you could see, for all I know, you could see like fucking Liverpool announcing a signing tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? Who knows? So yeah, we're going to have to keep our eyes peeled for that one. Only 10 days left or so. Let's see what happens.
All right, man. Your team.
My team.
Manchester United.
Yo, can I just say I've had a great summer, bro. Like, not, you know, having to like watch United games. You know that I never played soccer in the weekends before, because, you know, I was always tied to this fucking Premier League bullshit. I have to like watch, you know, Saturday morning or Sunday morning. So I never really played. Now, you know, I have enjoyed my summer. I played in the mornings and the weekends. So that was unbelievable. And now, you know, the depression is about to start again, I feel, you know. So this is what I'm going to say about Manchester United. we know that we have a new coach in Solskjaer. I mean, he's not new anymore, but it's pretty much going to be his first full season.
Yeah.
We know that he was very poised at the end of the season, saying that, hey, you know, we're still trying to build this team. We're going to make all of our transfers really, really early on. We hope to get everyone by July 1st so that they can come to, so that they can come to a preseason with us. But we also know what Manchester United does to you. We know that we've had ambitious, talented, powerful coaches like Mourinho, like Van Gaal. Listen, they were given the money. I'm not saying that they were not being able to spend, but they don't have the ultimate say in, first of all, when players come, like how early they can come, because we dragged our feet so much in a transfer window. It's unbelievable. And, you know, sometimes the transfers are vetoed. You know, we know that last summer, Mourinho wanted Harry Maguire. We know that Edward said no. And yeah. Now we're looking at him again. Like, you know, it doesn't really make sense for him, for me. So there's no really a good plan right now, a good project. We still don't have a technical director. And that's it. You know, right now we've signed Aaron Wan-Bissaka, who's actually an amazing piece of business. 50 mil. Some people would say that it's a little expensive. Look, we talked about the transfer between English teams.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a team like Manchester United, people know you have money. People know you're desperate for players.
Yeah.
So people are going to charge you more. Like, there's a Manchester United premium right now. We've been, you know, paying.
And given the history also of all the players that you guys have been bought overpaying in the last 3-4 years, it's not really worth for you if you're looking to get a bargain.
Yeah. He's easily our, like, he's our, obviously, he's the best.
The biggest signing for now.
Exactly, he's the biggest signing for now. I saw all of the games on tour. We went to Singapore, Australia, China. He is, like, by far the best player on tour.
Okay.
Just unbelievable range of tackling, defensive, like, one-on-one, unbeatable. We know that he didn't do much offensively at Crystal Palace, but that's just because, you know, he was playing in a defensive team. So he's going to be an outstanding player for us. But the problem is that we haven't followed up, you know, since then. We know that it took us like a month to sign him. You know, we offered less than what Crystal Palace wanted. Like, it got dragged on and on and on and on for like 2-3 weeks. And then finally we signed him before the tour started. But that's about it. And then we had that Daniel James, who's a little Welsh player. He was at Swansea before. So this is also in the you know, I guess the new.
Oh yeah, the sprinter. He's
the sprinter.
Fast,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So we've also heard that right now what United are looking to do, because, you know, recently we've had a little bit of like a Galactico policy. You know, Ed Woodward trying to make big signings. You know, we're talking about the Di Marias, the Falcaos. Looking at Bale before, you know, the Fabregas, like in 2013 and all that. Just looking at big, marketable players. Pogba, you know, when he came back in 2016. Yeah. So this was the transfer strategy a little bit, you know. Try to get, like, big-name players who you can profit off of commercially and all of that. But now we heard that, you know what, maybe we're going to tone it down a little bit. Try to get a couple of, like, young, English, talented players who are in the league. Because that's what we used to do back then, you know. If you wanted to be better as a team, if you're a Manchester United or Liverpool or Chelsea or Arsenal, you take the best players from I don't know, from Wolves, from Fulham, from Crystal Palace. That's what we used to do. Now the league is different, and we haven't really had any transfers so far. We know that we're looking at Maguire. We've offered, I think, 70 mil. Leicester City said no, so we're still, you know, tinkering over that. I think that's probably the only one that I'm almost sure it's gonna happen before the end of the season. The end of the transfer market, sorry. We also know that right now United, they just deal with one transfer at a time. They're not working on several fronts at the same time. So it's a slippery slope, because you look at how long it takes us to make a transfer. Right now it's taking us
Do you think Lukaku is gonna be out?
He's gonna be out. We're 3 weeks out right now for Harry Maguire. It's still not happening. We know that we're also linked to Bruno Fernandes. Although I think that it's more the Portuguese media who's making a big deal out of this. We're hearing like all sorts of contradictory rumors that he was in England yesterday for medical. So just all over the place, really. And we also know that what's the other player that was linked? I mean, Harry Maguire for sure. Midfielder, I can't remember really, but that's nothing's exciting right now. If the season, if the transfer window was to end right now, I would say that it was a really disappointing season, disappointing market.
Sure. Okay.
Because you look at where we finished last year, which was what, number five?
Six.
Yeah. And you look at Liverpool, what they did 2 years ago, you know, when they got the Mo Salahs, the Alisson, Becker, the Naby Keita, all of that. Oxlade Chamberlain, we can talk about all that as well. Like, they saw what they were lacking in, and they improved on that. We are lacking on several fronts. I mean, we sold, we didn't sell Herrera. He went on a free. We sold Fellaini to China as well, to a Chinese club.
Mm-hmm.
So we already need two midfielders with them being gone. And right now, you know, I mean, we know what Pogba said at the beginning of the transfer market, saying that he needs a new challenge.
Yeah.
if you ask me, I don't think he's going to leave this summer.
Okay.
I think we're in a very good position to keep him. And we know that, you know, I mean, that statement was a little bit weird, as in, like, I think it took everybody by surprise at the club, because when he left for the summer, he said that, he would stay. He wouldn't look to leave.
Yeah.
But look, if
because the rumors were crazy, Pogba is going back to Juventus,
yeah. Real Madrid. And all
Real Madrid
that.
Look, wants
if
Pogba.
If he wants to go, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, and like I don't feel bad about it, you know, because this is a guy who came on 2 years ago. I mean, we heard that the project was going to be big. He came at the same time as Mkhitaryan and Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and all three have the same agent basically. So, like, that package was really sold properly, right? Mourinho back as well, yeah. You know, versus Pep Guardiola at Manchester City. You know, they're back against each other in England. So this was supposed to be, like, the sort of a great success. But that hasn't happened. We haven't matched Pogba's ambition. Look, we can talk about Pogba's attitude and, like, how much more he could offer to the team. But for me, he's not surrounded by players who are at his level. So if he wanted to go, like, to a Barcelona or to Real Madrid, I would totally understand, and I wouldn't feel bad about it at all. Now, who can really afford Pogba? Right now, he has, like, 2 or 3 years left on his contract. So we're in a good position not to sell.
Yeah.
Pretty much, if you want Pogba, you got to offer minimum 150 mil, minimum. Right now, we know that the club is saying, like, offer 200, but, you know, we know how negotiation works.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, pretty much you start at 200 so that, you know, you can probably go down at, like, 180, 170, 60, 50. But, you know, Real Madrid, they haven't really offered anything for him. He's been very professional so far. He seemed happy on tour with his teammates and all of that. You know, just great dynamic. He hasn't really, like, sulked or, like, went on strike or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like the fucking Neymar at the beginning, or even Laurent Koscielny.
We'll talk
Arsenal.
About Neymar. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
But yeah, I think that Pogba is going to stay put right now. Oh yeah, the other transfer rumor that I heard with Manchester United was Sergei Milinkovic-Savic or whatever. Who's the Lazio 6'5 midfielder that Mourinho wanted 2 years ago, actually. So we're hearing that if he comes on, potentially that could free up Pogba. But that doesn't change anything as to what Real Madrid has to offer for him. You also can look at the 7-3 thrashing that they got against Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
That now possibly Zidane has convinced the board that they really need Pogba.
Yeah.
Look, to be honest with you, that performance, I don't see how a Pogba
is
makes a difference. You know,
okay,
like, look, they have Hazard, they have fucking Benzema. I mean, even Bale played a part in that. They got the Modric, the Cruz, who are still there. They got the young Luka Jovic striker. I don't see how... To me, that's just media talk, right? I don't see how, like, Zidane is going to go to the board and say, hey, look, you see? I told you we need a Pogba.
Yeah.
Now can we buy him, please? I don't see that happening. So that's it. That's it. If the transfer...
Disappointing thus far, so...
Very disappointing. If it was to end right now, I would say that it's very trash and... I don't see what's your ambition. I don't see how you finish sixth and you buy two players, you know, one who's like really a top player, the other one who's supposed to be a squad player. So I don't see how you're improving. You're letting go players like Herrera for free, and you're signing on players like Ashley Young. You're extending deals like Juan Mata, Chris Smalling, Phil Jones. So, you know, just no words.
Yeah.
That's where I'll leave it.
All right, man. So let's move on to the top European teams.
All right.
And maybe let's start with France, since we're only going to talk about one team, which is Paris Saint-Germain.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know Neymar, obviously, wanted to leave, and it, you know, Paris Saint-Germain also talked about it.
Yeah.
But for now, he came two weeks late to their summer camp, and he's back in the team.
Yeah.
There was a lot of rumors with Barcelona going to bring him back, but it looks like it's not going to happen.
It's not gonna happen. I got a lot of shit to say about this this case. First of all, I gotta talk about PSG, actually.
Okay.
Look, PSG, you know, they've had the season they always have. They win the Ligue 1 like 5 months in advance. Champions League, they struggle. Right now, I think there's a change in leadership. We know that the technical director was Antero Henrique before, who came from Porto. This guy, I don't know what he did, to be honest with you. When Thomas Tuchel started with him, he told him he needed a number 6. Never got a number 6. Weird signings, weird players, sucking up to the soccer superstars that are Neymars, Mbappes, and all of that. And everybody who has come before them, the Ibrahimovics and all that. Right now, Leonardo has been back.
Yeah.
Okay? Leonardo is the one who actually kickstarted PSG's project when he got Thiago Silva, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Thiago Motta, and all of that from Italy. So to me, Leonardo is an unbelievable leader. Leonardo is a guy who doesn't take shit from these big players, you know. And we also know that, look, Nasser Al-Khelaifi, he had an interview about a month and a half ago, where he pretty much said that
we don't want players who
want to be here, you know. Like, yes. Neymar, as far as I know, we didn't like put a gun to his head to join PSG. Like, he wanted to join the project.
Yeah.
At some level, he was convinced with the project. So, you know, if players like him don't want to stay here, they can get the fuck out of here. Which is what you should have done years ago. Not sucking up to them. Like, remember what he did last summer when Neymar wanted to leave? He took a plane, went to see him in Brazil when he was being rehabilitated with his injury. Like, sucked up to him. Even like signed a check for his Neymar Jr. Foundation.
Yeah.
I mean, just pandering, begging for players to stay with you, right? That's how they have the power. Look, Neymar, as big a player as he is, the shit he does at PSG, he didn't do that at Barcelona. He knows that Barcelona is a great institution. He's playing with players like Lionel Messi, Busquets, Piqué, players who've won everything. And, you know, despite that, remain very professional, right? We know that Neymar, every year, he misses, around the month of March because it's like his sister's birthday or something like that. Yo, for some reason, he's always injured around this period.
Bro, it's just a coincidence.
Yeah. So, right now, Leonardo has laid on a marker saying that we won't take bullshit anymore. Neymar did not report to training camp when he was supposed to. And, PSG made that information public, saying that, you know, just a communiqué de presse, saying that, you know, Neymar has not come back when we agreed for him to come back.
Yeah.
We will take appropriate measures, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, we hear Neymar saying that, oh, yeah, you know what? We told them that, you know, we'll be late. This was arranged already with the foundation, blah, 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 blah. Just, you know, bullshit stories with his dad. And then he finally said publicly that he was looking to leave PSG. And that, you know, his favorite destination will be Barcelona. And he also said that at the end, if this doesn't happen, I will be very happy to continue with PSG. But pretty much he said, he made it clear that he wanted to leave. Barcelona came back for him. And to me, you got to look at Barcelona's real intentions. You got to look, number one, do they really want him? Or are they just looking to destabilize him and destabilize PSG in this process? Because we know that there's bad blood between the two clubs after what happened with Neymar, who started this 2 years ago when he transferred from Barcelona to PSG. And you also have to look at, if they really want him, do they have the money? Because right now, all the rumors that we've heard is that, you know, they're looking to put Coutinho in the deal, Dembele in the deal, Rakitic, Malcolm, whatever, all that kind of shit. You have to look at if PSG actually wants some of those players, or if they just want cash so that they can also reinvest in the, in some players.
Yeah.
You also have to look at if those Barcelona players want to go to Paris, which they don't want to. Dembele, I said he doesn't want to. Rakitic, he doesn't want to. You know, there's all kinds of moving parts. What I know is that Barcelona started floating this idea that they potentially wanted him back. I think just to see the reaction. PSG has said, we haven't received any official bid from Barcelona. In this situation, only Neymar is the loser. To me, PSG passed a tremendous test when they heard about Barcelona's interest and they said, you know what? If you want Neymar, he can go. He can go at the right price. Yeah. I think that was an unbelievable step, as opposed to being like, oh, you know, Neymar, you know, he's a really important part of our project. He's, you know, so they call Barcelona's bluff. And right now, they're looking at Neymar and they're saying, hey, my boy, you want to go to this club? Look, this club is not putting up the money for you. So what's it going to be? What we know is that you got a contract with us and you better stay in line. Because, you know, this is what professionals do. Like, we're going to see it. Neymar is going to learn a valuable lesson that he can't always have what he wants. And, you know, that he can't, he's not the king in the castle at PSG, right? So I'm thrilled about Leonardo's leadership. I'm also thrilled about El Khelaifi taking a step back, like not being involved in everything. We know that's the problem at PSG, like too many chefs in the kitchen. And that's why they've never really been able to do anything. They've had great coaches, great squads and all that, but the leadership is always, the president, the chairman, sorry, he's always involved in everything. I mean, he goes to like Neymar's birthday party. He is not in his lane right now. Yeah. He's too friendly to the players, too close to them, right? Mm-hmm. And I think right now he's going to take a step back and he's going to let Leonardo really do his magic because that's what he's good at. Let's see what happens with Neymar. I think he's going to stay. He's going to be forced to stay.
Yeah, no, I think there's no... at this point, I think it's he will stay like 99%
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
I think they got a good bargain for Herrera. And I believe their squad as a whole is pretty much complete to really have a strong season.
Right now, the only thing that they're missing, I think, is a number six. I mean, Herrera can play the number six, but, you know, it's he can play a number of positions in the midfield, but... They needed a proper number six. Look, I know that they're looking at Idris Ague from Everton as well. That could be like a good piece of business for
actually,
him.
Actually, I think he signed to PSG. I'm not sure.
Already? I don't think it's official.
Okay.
But if they were to make that happen, that would be just like a good addition to the squad. They need like a pivot player who can play alongside Verratti, in my opinion. So if they can get Idris Ague, that would be good. We also know that, you know, Adrien Rabiot went to Juventus, so we could talk about that when we talk about Juventus. But they've had a good transfer window. Herrera for free. Sarabia from Sevilla, I think they got him for 18 mil. They got a young defender from Dortmund as well for very, very, you know, low money. And, you know, I think they're going to make... right now, they're going to look to make Mbappe as their star. We know that, you know, on a marketing level, Mbappe, he's, you know, he's just like on another level right now.
Yeah.
So, like, something that they couldn't do 2 years ago, for example, like letting Neymar go and, you know, focusing on Mbappe. Now they're in the position to do that. So even if Neymar was to leave, obviously it's a big loss commercially and also, you know, in a football aspect. But Mbappe, he is becoming a true star. And we know what he said at the end of the season as well. That he wants more responsibility and he wants to work in a serious club.
Yeah.
So a club that doesn't take shit attitudes from players who think that they're in the top of the world. And, you know, look, to end with the Neymar situation, this guy, he's 27 right now. I mean, when he joined Barcelona, he was supposed to do big things. You know what? Thank fucking God for him that he won a Champions League in 2015. Because right now, I mean, this guy, he's injured 2 years in a row, long-term injuries, missing Champions Leagues, Copa Americas and all that. Like, right now, and, you know, whatever that has been in the papers, you know, about, like, judicial shits and all the allegations that we heard about. Right now, he has to look at himself in the mirror and really think, like, what is he going to leave as a legacy behind him? He's already 27. Look, Messi's still playing, Ronaldo's still playing, you know. players like Salah have emerged right now. You know, the Hazards are up there as well. I mean, Christ, the Mbappes are up there as well. Like, what are you really offering? Are you still in the top three podium? I don't know, you know? So I think it's going to be an important year for him. Like, he really has to be a man. He has to take all responsibilities, not to be a crybaby like he's been his entire career. We'll see how he aims to win back the fans at PSG, because he's been very disrespectful. Just recently, he said that he was as well as his best football memory. Did you hear about that interview?
Yeah. The remontada.
Remontada six against PSG. I mean, what the fuck, bro? I don't know.
He was just being honest.
It's just unbelievable.
All right, man. Let's move on to Barcelona then. The other team that was involved with Neymar, their big signing obviously this summer is Antoine Griezmann.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that's it. I mean, they have De Jong from Ajax, but
Frankie
that was
De Jong, yeah.
But that was, you know, that was a done deal.
It's a great addition for them,
you know, last season. But you know, their squad now is pretty much, I think, bombarded also with a lot of forward, really good players. You know,
that's
you have Coutinho,
have,
you have Dembele, you have Messi, you have Suarez, you have Griezmann,
Malcolm.
You have Malcolm, you have. I don't know who else, man, but I don't know. Their squad is pretty complete. Griezmann is a really big signing.
Mm-hmm.
So my honest opinion on Griezmann, I don't know that he would be the player who will actually take them on the next level in the big games.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it happen 2 years in a row in the Champions League, where they got humiliated in the semifinals. For me, Griezmann, it might not be the type of player who would step up in these kind of situations. But I think they have a complete squad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe if they sell Coutinho or so, because he did not really adapt to the team last year, he was an expensive purchase. But for me, he adds a lot of value.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, the biggest problem I see in Barcelona is their coach. I don't believe that Valverde is
the
best fit.
That's the
big for the team. I believe he should have been gone a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's still here after two humiliating seasons in the Champions, two humiliating semifinals games in the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And I think nothing. If nothing changes this year, I don't believe Griezmann is gonna bring the change. So I really do not see them excelling on the podium. Maybe, you know, having a good La Liga season, even
mm-hmm.
though they're going to have, I believe, a lot of challenges from Atletico Madrid this season. But in the terms of Champions League, I don't know. They, you know, they relied on Messi a lot the last year. And I don't know if he'll be able to do so in the coming year.
Yeah.
And if he's not here, I don't see Griezmann stepping up.
Yeah. Look, that's a great point that you just made about relying on Messi. I almost forgot about it, but I know we spoke about it plenty during last season on this podcast. Look, the difference between Messi, like, playing, not playing, was unbelievable last season for Barcelona.
Yeah.
If he was not playing, like, if he was not in the team, they could have easily finished fourth, I think. And that's just because, like, Real Madrid was so poor as well. They could have finished third or fourth. Like, Messi saved them time and time and time and time again. I saw a different Messi last year, you know, a Messi who was much more vocal with his teammates, you know, before. We know that, you know, he played with Pique, Xavi, Iniesta and all that, so he didn't really have to be, like, the leader as far as, like, being vocal on the pitch.
Yeah.
But we know that, you know, things have changed for him. I mean, we can only remember about the game. I don't remember who they were playing. It was possibly Liverpool. When Vidal missed a goal in the first leg, and, you know, he was, like, screaming at him, you know, things like that, you know. So he's really taking on the leadership mantle in this team. Look, I have a lot of questions about the coach as well, and I'm sure a lot of Barcelona fans do. I don't think they want him to stay. But for me, they've made two great additions. I mean, Frankie de Jong, quality player, just quality. Barcelona, Ajax DNA through and through. This has, like, Johan Cruyff all over it. So wonderful signing for them. And then Griezmann, for me, he's a top player. And he's going to be a top player for them. Look, Griezmann in the system with France, you know, where he plays off of Giroud or off of Mbappé. Same thing with Atletico when he plays off of Morata or Diego Costa. To me, he's an unbelievable player. He works super hard. I mean, it's unbelievable. As a coach, like, you can't wish more than inheriting a player who played under Diego Simeone.
Yeah.
Because the work ethic that they have is just unbelievable. You can't have a lazy player playing under Simeone. So taking a player like that, with all the skills and the foundation that he's acquired over there, and trying to transform him and get him to the next level, I think it doesn't get better than that. I think Messi and Griezmann are gonna have an amazing relationship. We know that Luis Suarez had a weird season last year. I don't want to say all the way poor, because he still had 20 goals in the Liga season. And if that's a poor season for some people, I mean, you know, I'll just leave it at that. We know that Messi and, you know, Suarez and all the rest of the Barcelona players really wanted Neymar instead of Griezmann after what happened last year, you know, the La Decision and all of that. But, you know, I think that, you know, all the bad blood is going to go away. It's always like this when you have a new squad, a new teammate. I think everybody is generally welcoming.
Yeah.
He's had a couple of weeks with them already. We've seen pictures with Rakitic, fucking Busquets, you know, his teammates with Dembele and Langley, Umtiti in the French national squad as well. So I think he's going to be wonderful. And yeah, I mean, he's basically Spanish. You know, he was rejected in all of the soccer academies in France and had to fend for himself in Spain. His wife is Spanish, so I think he's going to adapt wonderfully to this team. My only question marks are about the coach, that's it. But I think the squad is great that they have. We have to see what happens with Coutinho. We have to see what happens with Dembele as well. But I think they're in a good position.
Yeah, I think it's really up to the coach and the style of playing. But
yeah,
their squad is complete.
Mm.
Let's move on to Madrid now. You know, Real and Atletico. Obviously, Atletico had a really big summer transfer season. Madrid, thus far, they only added, you know, they're actually looking to sell more players than buying. Their worries is how to get rid of Bale, obviously, because, you know, Zinedine Zidane has expressed that, you know, time and time again, that he's not one of his squad players. They also have James Rodriguez, who there's a lot of rumors of him going to either Atletico or Napoli.
It looks like he's going to stay.
But nothing has been decided as well. And then one day ago, as you said, they said, oh, the decision, James is going to stay.
Mm.
And Bale was obviously going to China a couple hours ago, man. And they just decided, apparently, he's going to stay. So it's really hectic in the Madrid squad. I think there's a lot of bumping heads between Zidane and Florentino Perez. But these were the problems that caused Zidane to leave. And I think Perez gave him some guarantees to come back. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like Zidane is getting his way 100% at Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
A bit. You know, they had a big loss. you know, 7-3 against Atletico 2 days ago.
Embarrassing,
man.
Fucking embarrassing.
So I don't know. With their current squad, I don't believe they can actually challenge Atletico and Barcelona. And you know, I don't know how it's gonna look like.
But see, it's a bit of a weird one for Real Madrid though, because they are the club who, like, up to 2 weeks ago, they're the club who was the most active. I mean, we already know that they're the club who spent the most right now in Europe. They spent £270 million right in front of Atletico, actually by some £50 million. So they spent a lot. They've got Eden Hazard from Chelsea. They've got Luka Jovic from what was his club? Eintracht Frankfurt. They've had Ferland Mendy from Lyon, who's a left back.
Yeah, left back.
So possibly looking to phase out Marcelo.
Eder Militao from Porto,
who was signed actually in the winter.
They did a lot of these signings in the season, actually, during the season last year.
And then
for Azar.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, we can't overlook a player like Vinicius, you know, who I think was, you know, unfortunately had an injury at the end of the season, but I think he's going to be an important player. And also the other guy, what's his name, Rodrigo, the other Brazilian player, like young player who was bought for big money as well. So, sorry, I was surprised by this Madrid performance, and I'm not sure how Real Madrid's preparation has been in the summer, actually, because we know that Zidane left the camp for about 2 weeks when his older brother passed away, so he had to go back. So I don't know if that's what affected, you know, Madrid's preparation. I hope so, because, I mean, it's pretty shocking, all the players that they've bought, you know, especially an important player like Aza playing with the likes of Benzema's and all that. I mean, I don't know if it's too unfair to judge solely based off that performance. And I wouldn't discount them too early. I think that it's an important season for them, based on what they did in the transfer market, you know.
Yeah, but I think they haven't addressed their biggest weakness, which is the midfield. I think, you know, the combination of Kroos and Modric is just overused, overdone.
Yeah.
You need really strong foundation in the midfield, and just having, you know, Kroos, Modric, and Casemiro, I think, would not really work well for the team. I think they have a lot of good signings up front and on the wings, but they need players in the midfield. And that's why we have been hearing a lot of rumors of them chasing Pogba.
Yeah.
But I really believe they need a strong presence in the midfield, and maybe one player in the back, even though they have, you know, they have Varane and Ramos and Nacho. So, you know, I think they should address their midfield. They should at least get one or two players in the midfield to have a complete squad. But for now, and given their performance in the friendly against Atletico, my personal opinion, they're going to finish third. But now let's move on to Atletico, which I think they're having perhaps one of their biggest summer.
Yeah. Second highest spending club in the summer so far. They spent 219 million.
That's a lot, man.
Pounds, not even euros. So that's a lot. I mean, we know that they got the little João Félix guy for 120 mil. Basically reinvested Griezmann's money right away. Who else did they get?
They sold Rodri for City. I think they did a lot of good deals, selling players like Griezmann and Rodri, and then getting Felix. They have Morata now, but I think he was on loan.
Yeah. Chelsea.
From Chelsea.
They got Angel Correa as well, I think. He was purchased for 50 mil. Let me see. Andre Correa. Atletico Madrid.
So they got Trippier from Tottenham.
Angel Correa.
But I don't know.
Trippier from Tottenham as well.
I think they always had a complete squad. And, you know, giving their vision and having still Simeone, you know, doing a lot of these deals. I really believe. The signings that they got really put them on top, so especially having Felix, which is, you know, basically maybe a second Mbappe. He's really regarded as one of the top players.
Yeah.
Who's coming up in Europe. They bought him for a lot of money, but his performance has been really good thus far. I guess Madrid.
Yeah.
He had an amazing game.
He had a crazy game. I mean, he played just like Griezmann as far as like what his role was in the club. He was playing off of Diego Costa. Amazing relationship with him already. A lot of chemistry right there. He scored one goal. Could have scored another one and had two assists. I mean, he was just like really, really involved in the whole play. And I can only understand why Atletico threw such big money for, what is it, 18, 19 years old?
Yeah.
Unbelievable Portuguese talent right there. You know, got the number 7 from Griezmann as well. Yeah. For Atletico, we just gotta see. It's true that a lot of people left the ship recently. You know, we can talk about the Griezmann, we can talk about the Godin, the Rodri, and all that. But you know, they still got important players like Koke, the other what's his name, the defender, Saul, yeah, midfielder, yeah,
Jimenez,
yeah, the Uruguayan guy. They got Lodi as well from was it from Sevilla or something like that. Portuguese Lodi. They got Thomas Lemar, who had a, you know, I think he had a good game as well against Real Madrid. And you just have to see how Diego Costa's season is going to be, actually. For me, you got to focus on Diego Costa and Morata. Because the rest, I believe, is there. They got an unbelievable midfielder in Thomas Partey as well, the Ghanaian international. Tremendous midfielder, in my opinion. Yeah, you got to see how they're firing up front. Because Diego Costa had a weird season last year. Morata,
four goals, man, against Madrid.
Yeah, unplayable. Just if he can go back to how he was with Atletico before Chelsea, and when he was playing at Chelsea with Mourinho and Fabregas.
Yeah.
Beast, bro.
He is,
beast.
Man.
Unbelievable beast.
All right. Last team in our list.
Yeah. Juventus. I mean, what can you say about these guys?
What a summer, man.
What can you say about these guys? Juventus.
The best bargains is are always bought by Juventus. You know, they got Ramsey from Arsenal for free, mm-hmm. right? They got
Adrien Rabiot.
Rabiot for free as well from PSG. So they had, you know, they strengthened their midfield.
Mm-hmm.
They got Sarri as a coach.
Yeah.
You know, Higuain is back, but it's still to be determined.
He's probably gonna go to AS Roma
to stay.
Yeah,
they have you know, Dybala, Cristiano Ronaldo.
Mm-hmm.
They have a complete squad, and they only strengthen it with two midfielders, two really skillful midfielders. Buffon is back as well. Matthias De Ligt, you know, the
big,
you know,
transfer,
big transfer, in the back. To be honest, man, I really think Juventus is going to be one of the strongest team, if not the strongest team, next season.
Yo,
in Europe. The only question is whether players are going to adapt with Sarri and how Sarri is going to make the team look.
Mm-hmm.
But from a squad perspective, I think that's the strongest squad I'm seeing right now in Europe.
Look, they got Juve easily got three teams who can, like, they got two teams who can really, really compete, and three teams who can compete in Italy. I mean, it's unbelievable. Juve has been so, like, astute in the transfer market in recent years. We know they love a free transfer. Right now, their midfield is just ridiculous. Don't forget all of the players that they already have, like the Matuidis, the fucking Sami Khedira, who probably is gonna be phased out by now. Buffon is back, of course. For me, the only negative, I mean, and this is if I really want to be picky.
Yeah.
I don't think you can win the Champions League with a goalkeeper like Chesney. That's it.
Okay.
For me, that's it. And I think that, you know, Buffon, he's a little bit past it now.
Yeah.
After what happened in Paris last year. And we know that he came back as a number two, you know, basically at Juventus. He's not going to compete for the number one spot, really. As far as I know, he came back just for the you know, sometimes you need certain figures in a dressing room, right?
Yeah.
If you have all these young players and then you have like old dinosaurs who are, you know, really important, like the Chiellinis, the Buffons, unbelievable top professionals who've won everything, like Ronaldo. If you have guys like these, like, they really transfer all of that to the young players. So for me, that's the only thing. Buffon, he just came back to beat Paolo Maldini's record as far as like games played in the Serie A. That's it.
Yeah. That was a clause in his contract, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Because I read about.
Yeah, I mean,
about him having specifically this clause in his contract that if he comes back, it's just it's just to break the trigger. But
so I think it's gonna be good for a Sarri team because, you know, Sarri, we know he loves his Jorginho type player, and he has easily Miralem Pjanic there as a number. I mean, his number is number five, but he's probably going to be that type of quarterback type players. Around him, I foresee Rabiot on the left, potentially Ramsey on the right, but, you know, could be Matuidi as well.
Emre Can, I don't know.
Could be Emre Can. I even forgot about him. Unbelievable. Yeah. Up top now, that's where the real, like, good problem starts. You know, I mean, you have Mandzukic, Ronaldo, Dybala, Higuain. You got Bernardeschi. You got fucking the Brazilian guy, Douglas Costa. I mean, it's just, you have Moise Kean as well, who's
upcoming.
I'm hearing he can go to Everton actually this transfer window.
Okay,
but just an unbelievable squad. So Juventus has been spending a lot of money, and I've been asking myself, where's this money coming from? I mean, I know they signed Ronaldo last year for 117 million.
Yeah.
But
then,
you know,
another 75 million just for the
Ligt. Yeah. Who actually, can we talk about that signing?
Yeah.
Look, Ajax is, I mean, such integrity. Like they said early on, we're not going to be one of these clubs trying to like sell our young players for like, you know, 150, 120 million, like basically pricing them out of a move, right?
Yeah.
Ajax, what they do, they have a great farming system that has just made a comeback, you know, based on their performance in the Champions League last year. Look, Ajax, they are I mean, I know that, you know, the football world is like all business now, but I think they're as pure as it gets, right?
Yeah.
They have this amazing farming system, and what they do, they know that right now they're not the big club that they used to be, you know, in the 80s, 90s anymore. So they really respect their players' wishes. They don't want to keep players who don't want to be there anymore. If you're a young player, you've done your time at Ajax, you've been an important player for Ajax. If at some point you want to go somewhere else, say Real Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus, United, City, whatever, and the club can get good money for you to reinvest in the club, they will let you go. They won't make problems out of it. The fact that De Ligt left for 75 million euros is, I mean, it's a great price. They could have easily asked for 100 million for him, minimum.
Yeah.
And I'm sure players will still spend that money, you know? So I think it's unbelievable what they did. And so, yeah, they spent a lot of money, and I've been asking myself why. There's going to be a tax break in Italy this year. I don't know if you heard about that, actually.
No.
I think, what's it called? Crescita, something crescita. Basically means growth in Italian. They're trying to, you know, right now, I mean, the Italian economy is just bad. Been bad for years. No work, really. I have all of my friends who live there. I mean, they're in a different position, you know, based on the schools they went to and all of that. But for the average person in Italy, it's the times are tough right now. And, you know, we've also heard that, you know, there's been a lot of, like, you know, right-wing kind of rise because, you know, people are afraid of the foreigners, the immigrants, and all that kind of rhetoric. And right now, the government is on the right, and they're trying to drive the economy back. They're trying to drive all of this back. And one way that they think they can do this is looking at soccer, right?
Yeah.
Soccer used to be really big in Italy, like in the 2000s.
It's still the biggest league in the world.
Yeah. All the good players, all the great players played there. The Batistutas, the Tottis, the Pieros.
Ronaldo.
I mean, Ronaldo, Ronaldinho, everybody played there. Literally, if you're a big baller and you wanted to have a great career, you would go to Italy. That's it. Cafu, all of that. Kaká. I mean, it's unbelievable. The list doesn't end. We know that when they had the, I guess, the more left-leaning governments recently, the taxes have been really heavy. And you know, it's a little bit like Spain. So I watched a video about this a couple of weeks ago, so the information is not as fresh anymore. But basically, last year, if you're a foreigner or not, actually, I don't think it makes a difference. The tax is basically 50%. If you earn 10 mil, you keep 5 mil and you give the government 5 mil. We know that clubs really love to accommodate their players and, you know, taking some of their tax burdens. You know, PSG has done that. I guess Juventus did that as well. Real Madrid did that for Ronaldo, I believe. They take on your tax bill, right? This means that if you as a player, you want to earn 10 million, so Juventus would have to spend 20 million on you so that you can have 10 million net.
Yeah.
As a salary, and then the other 10 million, they give it to the government on your behalf. That's your tax bill. Now everything changes. Now there's no if you're a new foreign player, or if you can guarantee that you're going to be here for like more than 2 years, and you're Italian or whatever. I don't really know who it affects or not, but the big thing is that there's a big tax break right now. So if you're a club like Juventus, you can pretty much invest heavily. If you want to pay Ronaldo right now, I mean, it changes everything. Ronaldo, he probably earns like about around 25 million per season. Right now, you don't need to pay 25 to the taxman anymore.
Plus, okay.
That's just free money right there.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
You know? So it makes a huge difference. And that's how we're seeing that.
So it's no surprise for me, because when I see Napoli willing to put 80 mil for Pepe, I'm like, that would never happen.
You're like, what the fuck is going
but
on?
Given all this economics and financial information.
Yeah.
And how the different tax breaks are coming into play in Italy, I think it would not be surprising to see a lot of signings or big signings coming up in the Italian football, which makes sense.
It's a really... Look, if you guys want to hear about that more, there's a great channel on YouTube. I mean, I'm just going to be the plug here. It's called Tifo Football. They make a lot of like really short and concise videos where they explain different kind of things, you know, like whether it's like tactics and all that, but also like behind the scenes, like what's really happening, the politics that is involved in the football world as well. They really break down everything. They have amazing sources. And recently they posted a video about this Italian thing. What's it called? Italy's Beckham Law Explained.
Okay.
That's what it's called, the video. So if you want to just look that up, it's just fascinating. It shows you how the spending is affected. You know, it also talks about like what's the repercussion, you know, that could be had on the local Italian economy. But it's really fascinating, and I think that it's a great move. If I just look at soccer, you know, I'm not an economics expert, so I don't know how it's going to affect the regular average Italian. But if I just look at Italian's football, and you look at the big players like AC Milan, Inter Milan, who were just unstable, different owners, you know, every year, this is good. It's going to drive, it's going to motivate clubs to invest more in soccer, and it's gonna be an additional incentive for foreign players to come to Juventus. We look at a player like De Ligt; he could have gone to Barcelona, you know.
Yeah.
But over there, the tax situation is different.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I mean, we know that Juventus has an amazing football project to suggest as well. But the fact that he gets a big tax break, that might be a big factor in that, you know.
It is, man. So maybe, you know, Juventus is the most dangerous team, I think, to look for next season.
Yeah.
With that, we have wrapped up top six Premier League and all the top European teams.
Mm.
This is our transfer window episode, guys.
Yeah.
We can't wait until the Premier League starts 10 days or actually, it starts August 9th, so maybe 11 days. But
is that a Friday?
I'm not sure, man.
No.
After that.
They like starting on Fridays recently. But yeah, anyway, we're excited for the season, guys. Can't wait to you know, bring you more news, more updates. You know, just general Premier League review right here. As Karim said, this was our Calcio Mercato episode, so it's a little bit of a long one. You know, we haven't, you know, really had an episode in weeks, so we had a lot to say as well. We kind of had to condense everything in one episode, so hopefully you guys enjoy it, and you guys can have all of your information right here as well. If you're not transfer market obsessed like us and are, you know, just all day long refreshing our phones,
yeah,
seeing if, you know, there are some
new
out. Exactly, just get it right here.
All right, guys. Peace
out.